Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Hey, if you're listening to this, I will assume you're at least interested in money, understanding the economy, and finances as well. And some of us now want to get the next generation interested as well. So check out Million Bazillion, Marketplace's award-winning kids podcast that breaks down money to help dollars make more sense. Tune into Million Bazillion wherever you find your favorite podcasts. A whole new season is out now. Million Bazillion is presented in partnership with Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Greenlight helps kids and teens learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Get 1 month free and an extra $10 when you sign up for a Greenlight account at greenlight.com/million. Ready when you are, boss lady.
I'll be a boss lady. Let's go.
All right, let's go. Let's go. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. And yes, I barely made it today, but that's a whole nother story. We're making today make sense is what we're doing.
Whew. Yes, and I'm Kimberly Adams, and thank you for rushing on my behalf so I could get to a thing I have to do after. And thank you all for joining us on this Monday. Today, we're going to do the usual. We're going to do a deep dive into some of the stories of the day, and then the wonderful Jake is going to hit our happy place sting, and we'll talk about a story or two that made us smile. So, Kai, what caught your attention?
So I've got two things. They're both reasonably quick, but and they kind of fall in the category. But I do have to kind of point them out. The first is an article in the Wall Street Journal talking about what Neil Irwin at Axios called the FTX omni-shambles, because obviously the collapse of that cryptocurrency exchange is a catastrophe on many, many, many levels. The headline in this article in the Wall Street Journal today said, FTX crypto customers worry they will never see their money again. They are never going to see their money again. And I think people need to recognize that. That's the cautionary tale out of this whole thing. Well, there are many. But one of them is, if you can't afford to lose the money completely, do not be in crypto. Forget the fraud. Forget all those investigations. Forget the fact that this company got hit by a bank run. But it's not actual money, right? It's a created thing out of thin air, especially the tokens that Sam Bankman-Fried was using in FTX. And all these people are never going to see their money again. There's no FDIC for crypto. And that sucks, yeah. But it's true. And people need to know that.
It's so funny.
Am I being too cynical?
No, you're not. I mean, that there were so, and I know I keep saying the same thing over and over again, there were so many people who just feel so left out of the banking system and the investment system and the financial system, and this really was their way in, and they thought they were getting in early on something, and I hope that this doesn't make people not trust any financial system. Because already within crypto, there were all these people who were just like, we can't trust the big banks, so we're going to do crypto. Mm-hmm. And now if you lose trust in this other thing that was supposed to be the alternative to the thing that you already didn't trust, then what? Especially when you get burned this badly. And I wonder how folks are going to think about money and investment and the financial system and trust in the economy after going through something like this. And I was reading in Market Watch, which is different from Marketplace, as we often tell people. That it's not just the investors that are losing their money. There are a bunch of charities that FTX linked with that now the funds they received in some cases may be subject to clawbacks. And, you know, there's like a charity that supports a community in rural India, you know, that a nonprofit that helps children in rural northern India connect with mentors in online classrooms. They got a $200,000 grant, and now they were hoping to expand the program, and now they're worried that they're not even going to be able to keep that money.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, everybody's getting screwed.
Yeah, yeah, and look, sorry, just to bring it back to why this matters, right? And it's that point you said about trust. Cryptocurrency will eventually be actual money, and that is how this entire economy will run. It will eventually happen. But it's not yet. It's a deeply speculative instrument. And it's important for people to understand that while also maintaining trust. You can be really trusting of speculative instruments. That's fine. Have your eyes open. I mean, look, oil is a speculative instrument, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not as volatile as crypto, but it fundamentally is. But look, it's going to be the future of money. And so you got to believe. You got to believe. That's my thing. All right. So news item number two comes to us from Grant Wall. He is probably the premier soccer writer in the United States, has been covering soccer for many, many times, and posted on his Substack this morning that he was detained outside the stadium in Qatar, or Qatar, or however we're pronouncing it, before the USA-Wales match because he was wearing a T-shirt that had a soccer ball surrounded by a rainbow. And the security guards told him, he says in a tweet, "You have to change your shirt. It's not allowed." And we talked about this the other day when we talked about the Budweiser thing and how Qatar, the government, changed his mind at the last minute. And I brought up the fact that gay and lesbian soccer fans and everybody in that community had been promised that they could go and would not be harassed. And here we are on day two of the tournament. And that happened. And that matters because it's going to be a long month.
And you saw about the armbands, right?
Oh, yeah, the armbands for the captains. So European country captains were going to wear armbands. Either with rainbows on them or saying something supportive of that community. And FIFA, the organizing committee, said, no, you're not. And it's, you know, corruption piled on corruption, compiled on cowardice, all kinds of stuff. Yeah. And it all just stinks.
It does. And, you know, this is obviously, as we learned this weekend, not just a problem in the Middle East. You know, been watching with horror about the shooting at an LGBTQ plus dance club in Colorado Springs. And, you know, there was supposed to be, I'm looking at the story from Colorado Public Radio, there was supposed to be this interfaith service for Trans Day of Remembrance, which is a day to remember transgender folks who've been killed and murdered and or lost their lives to suicide. And instead it had to turn into a vigil for these people who were murdered in what was supposed to be a safe space. And I hesitate to say this because I don't want to, you know, recenter this conversation, but this idea of being attacked in your safe space is just so painful. I remember there was a lot of conversation among Black women after Breonna Taylor was shot by police in her home. This idea about Black women creating these spaces in their home of safety from all of the things in the world that make you feel other, that make you feel less than. And the stories and the pain and the expressions of grief I've been reading and seeing on social media from folks in the LGBTQ plus community over the weekend, that is just striking so deeply, just like at the Pulse nightclub, you know, where all those people were murdered back then. This idea of being attacked in your safe space. And, you know, rhetoric matters and representation matters. And there have been so many anti-gay pieces of legislation, anti-trans initiatives, really incendiary language from a lot of politicians targeted at this community. And then you see some of these same folks coming out with their thoughts and prayers and condolences. And I do not begrudge anybody who is very hesitant to accept that kind of sympathy. It's pretty bad. And the GLAAD CEO did an interview with ABC and pointed out some numbers that, you know, we're seeing a 12-year high in hate crimes, a 41% increase against the trans community alone. And, you know, she points directly to the anti-LGBTQ policies and politicians and social media mm-hmm. platforms doing that as well. So that, you know, to unfortunately link it to what intolerance looks like in one part of the world to what intolerance looks like here. The other piece of news that I was watching over the weekend, and I still am not quite sure how I feel about it, if it's good news or bad news, is what came out of the COP27 conference in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt, which is another round of these UN climate change, you know, organized conferences to try to find some sort of solution to stop the speed of global warming and to reduce emissions and to decrease our reliance on fossil fuels and many number of other things. There are a couple of key takeaways from this meeting and two big ones. One is that there is a historic deal that is going to establish a fund to help lower-income countries cope with the climate disasters that were caused by higher-income countries. That, you know, places like Pakistan that dealt with those terrible, terrible floods, and, you know, countries like Tuvalu, I believe is how you say it, that is literally sinking underwater. And now they have at least agreed in theory that there's are basically going to be climate reparations. So that is progress, I guess, in sort of viewing this as a global problem as opposed to an individual country-based problem. However, what did not come out of the conference was any kind of agreement on really meaningfully limiting fossil fuel use globally. And that is not great for the health of our planet. So there's that.
Yep. Yeah, I think the loss and damages thing is huge, as you pointed out, the reparations, but the actual fossil fuels part is discouraging for sure.
Yeah. So since we ended on discouraging, let's go ahead and be smiley.
Let's. There's Bonds.
I hear a dog.
That's a dog. All right.
Which
so
dog
I will
was
confess
that?
I am smileless. That was Bonsai. She's out here with us. She's the faithful one. Willow's inside with Liv, who is her human. Bonsai's with me.
Her favorite person.
Which is kind of the way it goes. That's right. That's right.
Well,
all right.
Okay,
I'm smileless today,
two.
Ms. Adams, so it's over to you. Yes, good.
I have
good.
Two. So first of all, I did not watch the American Music Awards. However, I did go back and see clips of Pink's performance as a tribute to Olivia Newton-John, you know, amazing singer who died this year or this past year. And there was a Pink sang Hopelessly Devoted to You in amazing fashion, as Pink always does. But Pink also performed another song, one of her own songs, in roller skates. And there's very brightly colored dance. There are ramps, there are flips, there are spins, and all of these performers. And Pink always does the most amazing performances at these award shows. Like, I don't know if you ever saw the one that she did in with her daughter where she's like spinning around on these pieces of fabric from the ceiling. And the thing is, she sings the whole time. Like, to be doing these very physically demanding and technically, like, demanding skills and singing in full voice and sounding good always astonishes me. And it's very bright and colorful and fun and makes me happy. So, and that also links to my other Make Me Smile, which is slightly linked, because roller skates and ice skating.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's about the time of year where all these ice skating rinks are opening up all over the country, including one in my neighborhood. And they had a day on, was it yesterday? Yes, it was yesterday, where people in the neighborhood who actually live in our very specific neighborhood could come to the ice skating rink and skate for free. And the skate rentals were free and everything. And it was so interesting being out there. I fell twice. My knee still hurts, by the way, in case you were wondering. it's okay. Left the dignity on the ice. That's fine.
There you go.
But
it's all good.
It was so encouraging to see all of these people getting out there and trying. You know, little kids were out there and they'd fall down right back up, fall down right back up, spinning across the ice. They don't care. And their parents are like encouraging mm-hmm. them along. Some of the parents barely staying upright themselves. And even seeing older folks like my, I'm talking like my age and older, as in not little children. sorry, Kai.
Yes. No, it's all right. I get, look, I'm over that. I'm over that.
No, I just mean adults. That's what I mean. Adults.
Yes.
Getting out there and trying something that's really scary. As I said, my knee still hurts. And nevertheless, you had people getting out there and doing something that is inherently quite frightening with a high probability of you embarrassing yourself and getting True. Out there and doing it anyway. And having a good time. And that made me really happy to see that, you know, people are going out there and doing it, challenging themselves to something different.
More power to you for going out there. More power to you. Yes. Absolutely.
And I'm going to go again, and I'm going to fall again, and it's going to be fine.
And we will leave it right there with Kimberly Adams falling on the ice. We're done for today. Tomorrow... on the Tuesday show, and a very brief reminder here, so it's today and tomorrow, and then we're off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, back a week from today, so put that in your calendars or whatever. Tomorrow we're doing globalization. We have thought about globalization as the thing that has powered the global economy for a very long time. What if that's not right? What if it doesn't actually work that way? What if, you know, globalization maybe ain't all that? We will talk about it, and most particularly what it means for the future of this economy.
Yeah, and if you have questions or comments about that or anything else, you are, of course, welcome to send us a note. You can email us at makemesmart@marketplace.org. You can call us at 508-EB-SMART and leave us a voicemail. You can DM us. You can add us. You can send a message on whatever platform that you can find us, and we'll try to see it.
We'll do our best. Somebody reads all those emails. Which is, I mean, it's true, actually. Make Me Smart is produced by Mercy Cabrera and Courtney Bergseeker. Today's program was engineered by Jake Cherry. I do believe Ellen Rolfes writes our newsletters.
Bridget Bodner is our senior producer when she's not working on the podcast Million Bazillion. And the director of On Demand is Donna Tam. Do you ice skate, Kai?
I have not in many a year. Many a year. I'm not terrible, though.
Are you going to go this year?
Too, actually. I'm in Southern California. I'm not going ice skating. Come on. You know, close places like in Pasadena or something, and it's packed and it's indoors. And yeah, no.
Yeah, not the same.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.